Basketball's a blast, isn't it, darling? Too bad you can't play with these balls.
Good morning, everybody. Hello. Welcome back to the show. This is episode 528. I'm sorry, the two dumb yinzers. Welcome back. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Happy to be here. I'm just ready to go.
How's Derpy doing?
I don't know. Derpy, are you here, bud?
You know, the thing about Derpy, he was I sent him the link earlier to get on the show and get things rolling. And he, I don't know, about 3 minutes before I got on, he's texting me. He's like, dude, the link ain't working. Could you send me the meeting ID? And
he was literally in here.
So I'm shuffling around. I'm trying to find everything. I'm trying to find all the stuff that he needs and get it over to him. And, you know, as I'm trying to get ready. And finally, I send the meeting ID over. And he texts me back. He's like, oh, I got it. So now I don't know where he's at. Now he's
I'm here.
Okay, there he is. This guy right here. You are a wild card, Derpy. You are just we never know what's going on.
Yeah.
With you over on that side.
He's always on his own plane.
He is. Derpy does his own thing. You know, he's probably in the middle of recording like three other shows right now. Oh my god, totally. I spelled LSU wrong.
You know, this April Fool's Day, I'm glad it's over. What's the deal with all these transactions between the Steelers and other teams? And yesterday on the internet, we were getting Juju Smith-Schuster, we were getting Justin Jefferson, we were getting this guy. I'm so through with April Fool's Day. It's not even funny.
It was funny, some of the stuff that's coming up there, but it's like at the same time, all right, guys, the joke has been played out for years now. Can we try something different?
And then it goes on all day, and it's all different people, and then it's all different players, and it's all different. I thought, oh, this is so annoying.
Yeah, it was like funny when, you know, Twitter first started. Now it's so played out. Can we just like
find something different? That was ever funny? That it's just downright annoying. What's funny about that? Can you explain? If you could explain to me and make it funny, I will believe you.
100%. Well, you know, when it first Twitter came out, everyone was using it as a news source. So it was kind of funny. People were like, oh my God, we got this guy. Oh, now April Fool's. Oh, okay. Now it's passe. It's been done.
It's just annoying. It's really annoying
now. Especially now, like when you're going through just like the feed and you're getting stuff from yesterday and it's still popping up. You're like, oh my God.
You know, I'm constantly trying to obtain information for the show
and gather
stuff. And, you know, all day long, it's, you know, all these big time trades are happening. So I just have, you know, after a while, I just realized none of these are real. Nothing is. I hope nothing happens on April Fool's Day, because if it does, I'm sure not going to get it.
Oh, if it does, we're screwed.
But how annoying. I'm so over that. I'm so through. I'm glad we have a whole other year till we have to deal with April Fool's Day again. Other big news. Mike's got an upset stomach today, so.
Oh, that's an understatement. This is like the second time in 2 months this has happened. I don't like this.
So, you know, if you have to run off to the bathroom, that's fine. But you better believe I'm going to keep a count and have an official count of
we're at three at pre-show. Okay.
Yeah.
It was rough. There should be nothing left in my system.
I think it's very important to people know how many times.
I think it is too. I think all the water that is in my system has been flushed out.
Huh.
This is just.
You think you're getting sick? Maybe you ate something. What do you think it is?
I think I'm getting sick. Yesterday I was starting to feel really run down. Like the congestion. I've had this cough that won't go away, but I got the congestion back.
You think you're
going to shit? Then the body aches. I took NyQuil last night. I woke up just feeling dead. Took some DayQuil, took a nap before the show, woke up, was feeling good, made some coffee, had a bagel, had some ham, left over from Easter, and then all of a sudden my body was just like, nope.
Do you think you're going to shit in the next hour?
I should be good. I took some Imodium after the very first one. I popped two Imodium, and I think what was in there just, you know, emptied out of the system. I should be good for the rest of the day.
All right, well, if you do, just go shit, and I'll keep count. And as I said, this I think this is important for people.
I can set up a graphic for like every time that I go.
Yeah, do that if you can, with like a little count on it.
Yeah, if I run, I'm not
like how they do
the
in
pre-show.
Prisons, you know, like when people are locked away for years, yeah. They put the little the lines. I want to do that. Put that
yeah,
up.
Yeah. Well, if I go during the show, I will. I'm not counting the pre-shows.
Bucks and pucks, everybody. The Pittsburgh Pirates and the Pittsburgh Penguins get the win again.
Yes.
When these two teams play on the same day, they're tough guys. There's barely nobody beats them. That's they play on the same day, they win. Pittsburgh Pirates back at it yesterday. They go they head up to Washington to start a new series, and the Pirates managed to win again, 8-4. They're now 5-0, guys. This is the first 5-0 start for the Pirates since 1983, and we are still one of the four teams in the majors that have an undefeated record at five games in. Again, there's 162. I understand it's a long time, but you know what? For the Pirates, this is a very exciting thing, and for the fans, it's even more exciting. The Yankees right now are 5-0. The Tigers are 4-0. And the Brewers are still at 3-0. So the Pirates, guys, I understand they're not playing great teams. And when they do start playing Baltimore, and when they get home after Baltimore, they got Detroit coming to town. We're going to start seeing some tough teams that are going to start giving us a game. And, you know, we're not going to sweep through every series. But you know what? Right now, while it's active, while it's fun, let's enjoy it. We got the day off today. We're going to finish the series tomorrow and the next day. We have Mitch Keller back at the top of the rotation tomorrow. And we're finally facing a right-handed pitcher. This is going to be the first game all season we faced a right-handed starting pitcher. This will be the first time, guys. I like the way the rest of this series looks. Again, of course, Mitch Keller and then Perez will finish it up. And then when they come home to play Baltimore on Friday in the home opener, you get Jared Jones. So, you know, we get to see his stuff a little bit on Friday, but I don't like what goes on after that on Saturday. You're going to have Bailey Falter on the hill against the Baltimore Orioles. I think that's going to be a disaster. Hopefully, if we can make it that long and don't lose, you know what, then who cares? I'll take that loss after that period of time. We could go come home and be 7-0, even 6-1, I'll take it, and then maybe win that first game of the series with the Orioles. Then you know what, I could take a Bailey Falter loss. But until that point, Bailey Falter is the Achilles heel. He is the weakest link in this rotation.
Big time.
I think, you know, it's hard to say what Jared Jones is going to do. He had an extremely successful first outing with the 10 strikeouts against the Marlins in the first series of the season. Who knows if that's going to continue? Who knows? You know, we're going to watch that play out. But you know what? It's a lot better than what I've seen from Falter.
Oh, anything's better than him.
And then Perez and Gonzalez, they basically pitched the same kind of game. I thought the same for both of those guys. And then Mitch Keller, you're getting your ace. You hope to get decent outings, you know, pretty regularly. So if we could finish up against the Nationals at least 6-1, win the series, win two series going into the last or into the first home series of the season against the Orioles, I think we're going to be in good shape. We did start, 20-8? Last season?
Yeah, somewhere like 28, 21, and 8, somewhere in that range.
You know, good morning, Brian, on the board. He's saying right now the Pirates may start the season 28. No, you know, that's very unlikely. But and I know that he's messing with us. But, you know, the thing is, guys, I think they potentially do have a chance to start as good or better than they did last year when they did start 20-8. I don't see why not. Last year at this time, the Pirates were 2-2 after their first four games in the you know, that this year's Pittsburgh Pirates were 4-0 after four games and now 5-0, of course. So, you know, guys, it's going to be interesting. I think this may be a good team. You know, don't go by me. Of course, my favorite baseball team has been terrible my whole life. So, you know, I'm not qualified to make this call, but I think that this is a good team. I think that they're talented. I look at the lineup from top to bottom. Everybody seems like they can hit the ball. The rotation seems like they're good. The bullpen seems like they're really good with Contreras came in yesterday, made me lose my mind. But
yeah,
with the exception of the Contreras outing yesterday, the bullpen's been sturdy all season. You know, so.
who was the guy that was pitching right before Chapman came in? I forget his name. He got the save the night before. Jones?
No, Ryder Ryan.
Ryder Ryan. He has some nasty stuff.
Him, Stratton, they have a really nice bullpen. Yep. I like mm-hmm. the way they look this year. But again, it's only five games in. Derpy, how many do they play?
Derpy,
I think he sneaks away. I don't know what he does. I think we're gonna start putting a camera on him. Even if it's not on air, I have to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, I don't trust him.
I don't know what he's up to from minute to minute. Because one time he runs in, he's like, I'm here. And then the next time I he's gone.
He's an enigma.
162.
There we go. 5 hours later.
He must be listening to the game in the other room or the show in the other room. And he's like, oh shit, they need me. He runs in. What's going on over there? What are you doing, Derpy?
I told you I'm doing this through my Xbox and it's glitching.
Yeah, okay. The guys that got two hits yesterday in the game were Connor Joe, Brian Reynolds, Andrew McCutchen, Henry Davis, Analeke Williams. They all got two hits, and Michael A. Taylor had three hits in the baseball game yesterday. Brian Reynolds had three RBIs. I do believe he leads right now in RBIs in this early part of the season. Brian says Derpy's always on point.
Yeah. Derpy's on top of things, you know, as always.
Marco Gonzalez comes out as a nice outing. He goes five innings, guys, four hits, one earned run, two walks, two Ks. Pirates are back at it tomorrow. Back at it tomorrow at 6:45 against the Nationals, and then 4:05 on Thursday. Then they come home to play Baltimore to start the home series. I can't wait for that, guys. Listen to this. The schedule that they do have coming up, they play Baltimore at home for three, and then Detroit comes home. Detroit comes here for two. Then they go to Philadelphia, who's terrible. I think Philadelphia is like 0-4. So they go to Philly for four. And they go to the Mets for three, who's pretty bad. They got killed again. They're like 1-3. And then back home to finish the month out for Boston at home, and then Milwaukee at home.
Ooh.
So, you know, it's you know, not going to be easy the rest of the way. Certainly, you know, the rest of the way through April, guys. Again, Baltimore this weekend, our first home series. Then Detroit comes in for two. Then we go to Philly. Then we go to the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And then back home for Boston and Milwaukee to finish up the month.
Let's just do well against, like, Baltimore, Milwaukee, Boston, and struggle against Philly and the Mets.
I can see this.
I would be okay with that. I'd rather, you know, struggle against those bad teams and beat the good teams. But it would be fitting with, like, the theme in Pittsburgh for every team. We can't beat the bad teams, but we can always beat the good teams.
Right.
And I like to see, I would be comfortable with that, with the Buccos right now doing that.
That would be, yes. As you said, I mean, that's kind of a Pittsburgh thing.
You know, it is a Pittsburgh thing.
Maybe this goes on all over the place, but we just see it more because it's here.
Yeah.
It can't possibly only be us, these things, you know?
No, because, you know, teams tend to play up and down to their competition.
Right.
It's human nature. You think, oh, I'm going to think this game is going to be easy. I don't think it's my best effort. You know, it's like when you would take a test. Like, oh, I know this material. I don't need to study. Then you get it. You're like, oh, shit, maybe I should have.
You wonder when that mentality is ever going to go away. You know, because it's always been that
right?
way.
Why it's always been there.
And coaches and things never – why do they never learn? Why is this something that's always –
hubris.
Always been a problem.
No, I'm going to go with hubris. It's because I like that word.
All right, hubris. I got something for you. The series that we just finished up against Miami. Now, they're complaining.
Yeah.
They're complaining that the roof was open. Okay.
What?
Yeah. So this – all right. So I'm going to read you something. Now, this is from Jazz Chisholm Jr. For the Florida Marlins. We just played
them. Star player.
Listen to this. Yeah, this is their star player crying because they got swept by the Pirates. The Miami Marlins are 0-4 after their first series of the season against the Pirates. And center fielder Jazz Chisholm believes the Marlins' open roof contributed to the early struggles. Remind you that the Pirates also played.
Yeah, played in that condition.
Per ESPN, Chisholm said the Marlins struggled against the Pirates relief pitchers because they weren't used to playing under the open roof at Lone Depot Park. Talking about the Marlins. Quote, that we couldn't see, Chisholm said. And quote, that's all. I feel like the shadows were really, well, we're not used to playing in the shadows. We normally play inside every day. So when we get to shadow for three or four games at home for the first time of the season, it's kind of hard to adjust to.
You play there all the time.
We play there three games a whole year.
Yeah.
And for
what
two.
What does that any have?
Yeah, go ahead, Derpy.
So what does that have to do with baseball?
Nothing. It's just trying to conjure up excuses because you stink and you didn't perform well enough to win any games in a four game series against the team that's traditionally bad.
Yeah. And for someone like, he's a really good young player too, for him to say something like that, right. Like, come on, dude. You're like, you're a rising star in the league. Come on, you should know better than that.
Yeah, so I found this one, you know, and especially how can you even have the nerve to even say this?
Yeah.
When, again, there's a team that's there that played very well that plays there literally three days out of a whole year.
At least, I give him credit. At least he didn't throw his own team under the bus. You know, at least he has that going for him. Just, you know, say the shadows.
Right.
Screwed you guys over.
So.
Not the terrible pitching, not, you know, surrendering multiple run leads.
So the
this is a little bit of a mix of March Madness and the Pirates.
All right. Okay, go ahead.
Obviously you said the fact about 1983 being the last time they went 5-0.
Yeah.
NC State was the last time they won the championship.
There you
go. They started in Pittsburgh region this year.
Everything's lining up for NC State.
Everything's lining up.
Blame it on the eclipse.
It's the eclipse causing NC State to run havoc through the attorney in the Buckeyes to go 5-0.
Well, you know what? If there is anything that says that this is the end of the world, it couldn't be all these other things that people are talking about. It would have to obviously be the Pirates being undefeated, right?
It would too. Right? Yeah, that would be the one. Like, that's what I'm worried about. Like, the Buckeyes keep winning. What, you know? How soon until the asteroid hits us?
Right. Well, they have the Devil Comet flying around, and I don't know what the Devil Comet is, but
we're gonna get a mass gamma ray burst from somewhere in the galaxy that's gonna kill us all because the Buccas are winning. They're finally we're beyond the cusp of winning a World Series, and then the sun's gonna go supernova.
Brian Reynolds responds, if we're such a bad team, responding to them shorthanding the Pirates for coming down and sweeping them in their home stadium. Brian Reynolds says, in quote, if we're such a bad team, maybe he should have managed his team a little better and beat us. You know, that's a good point. That's what it always comes down to with me. I think at the end of the day, when people are starting to create their excuses after losing or whatever their reason is, at the end of the day, you should have just played better. Yeah. Be better. Beat the team.
Well, if anyone knows about creating excuses, it is Big Stacks. Was it 2 years ago, Ryan?
He lead the league in RBI, so I'm gonna.
Hey, you know, he's actually living up to his paycheck for a change, so we'll let him talk a little smack back. I like it.
I do. You know, I don't hesitate to give it to Brian Reynolds when it's due. However, I will respect and honor when he does well and give that to him as well. I do believe, as I said, I do believe he right now after five games leads the majors with RBIs. Comes out with two hits yesterday. But so that's what's going on with the Pirates. They got the day off. They come back tomorrow, game two. We finally face a right-handed pitcher for the first time this season. We are back at the top of our rotation. I'm sorry, Mitch Keller will be on the hill. And then we get Perez to finish out the series. Then we come home on Friday night to open up the home stand against the Orioles with Jared Jones on the hill. I like this. I like this, Mike. These next days are looking good. I think your lefties are chomping at the bit to get in the batter's box tomorrow. Sawitzky.
Yep.
Also, Rowdy. These guys they're ready to get in there, and I can't wait.
Be nice for, Sawitzky to get off the schneid. Yeah, he had a couple at bats and do that well. But, you know, he's getting the righty matchup, so that's going to be good there. I just checked. Reynolds has 8 ribbies that ties him for third.
Reynolds.
It ties him for third. Big Stacks tap for third in ribbies. Like someone else
I
had
think
a couple
as,
more.
Yeah, as it was going the games into the game. Ended yesterday, he was leading, but they did play games into the night with all these other teams.
Yeah, so you weren't wrong.
Brian Reynolds looking good so far. Also in the majors last night, speaking around the league, the Houston Astros already already throw a no-hitter against the Blue Jays
Jeez.
In a 10-0 win. So, you know, I mean, there's teams out there that are a lot worse than we are and a lot worse off. And I like the way we're looking right now. Again, guys, 5-0. What do we have? 157 games left. We'll have Derpy out in the dumpster digging out the World Series tickets before you know it.
Better get them, Derpy. Buckets are going all the way.
Good morning, P on the board as well. We'll be getting to the NC State and all this stuff here shortly. But no, I agree. This is a lot of odd things going on in sports, all matching up with all the odd things going on in real life. So, makes you wonder. Brian on the board, he says, I heard Jones pitched a 76 pitch perfect game in high school. He said he threw 75 straight fastballs, and then the last pitch was a sinker. I like him. I like him a lot.
He's a beast. Yeah. Like last year, man, he was struggling in the minors, but man, he just turned it on. Love to see it. It's what they need. They need, you know, this guy was what, a second round draft pick. You know, it's nice to see him come around. Then you got Skeen's first round pick, number one overall, ready to come up too.
I gotta tell you.
Nice little rotation.
I think that Skeen's would be more successful than Bailey Falter at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather have Skeen's fail than Falter. You know, just be his typical
fail miserably.
Self.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, you know, they're saying, well, he's not ready. He's not ready. Well, your starting pitcher in the rotation isn't ready.
Exactly. And right. Skeens has that personality where failure does not look like it's going to, diminish his confidence. Where that failure is going to actually fuel that fire. Like, I'm going to figure this out. I'd rather him up here and struggle and fight through it, or come up and just dominate from the beginning and build the confidence that way. He just has that personality of he's not going to succeed. Yeah.
You're right.
You know, where he's not going to, failure's not an option for this guy.
I mean, you see what Aroldis Chapman at 36 years old comes in and does in a third of an inning with the speed that what he has. Imagine having your starter do this.
Yeah.
It can't be a bad thing.
No.
And as I said, you bring Bailey Falter over from Philadelphia, who's 0-7 last year, finishes 2-9. And some reason you justify this and put him in your starting rotation. I can't, Mike, I can't figure it out.
If we had a couple pitchers better than Bailey Falter, I would be more comfortable, okay, letting Skeens go down to the minors for, you know, a month or two. But no, not with the pitching staff we have now. There's open spots for him. There's at least two spots that he could fill one of those roles, and he should be there right now. I don't care that, he's a rookie, he just came out of college. Other teams have done this before, taking guys, let them do their after the draft, how they go down in the minors, work, and then that next year, boom, they're up in the pros, and they can be lights out. Do it with him. He has that ability. He has that mentality. Let him be that guy.
The mindset that this team has, Mike, I heard somebody say this, and they said maybe they're keeping Skeens for a postseason run. And if that isn't the Pirates mindset in a nutshell, we usually don't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
that makes sense for the Pirates. Let's keep them for a playoff run.
And that might not happen.
And that might not even happen.
They would. That would be their excuse. We're going to keep them for a playoff run, but we don't want to waste his, let him pitch too much. We're going to waste, arm fatigue because, it's first time pitching these many games. I'd rather have him pitch 3 to 4 innings in the pros than 3 to 4 innings down in Indianapolis. Use him up here. So, and if you have to shut him down because you have him on a pinch, innings count.
And guys like this,
I'd rather have him in the pros to help the team be successful.
Guys like this who are generational talents, they don't take the same process that it takes an average player to work their way to the pros. They're just freaks of nature. Give them a little bit of time down there, but you got to bring this guy. Especially, again, when you think the guy that's 0-7 that came here last year from Philly is the guy that belongs in there, and Paul Skeens is it. Those are some of the things as we talk about Derpy. Remember I told you one time, it's tough to be a Pirate because you're not only fighting the competition of the game, and it's a hard game on a pro level, but you're also fighting the Pirates as an organization. And you kind of see this in a situation where and listen, if it all plays out that way, then fantastic. If they hold them back and let him go, closer to the halfway point and he gets to pitch and we get a postseason. Okay. But again, if you're the Pirates, you can't bank on that happening. That's, we're generally not a good base, but that's like the Arizona Cardinals making decisions because they want to worry about their Super Bowl run. Or the, you know, like the Browns. And it's very comparable because the Browns are very similar to the Pirates in the sense that they're just a bad organization and they always stink. That's like the Browns making these decisions because they believe they're going to be in the Super Bowl like they did for, you know, 3 or 4 years there. And look how that plays out. So, again, you know, you got to – it's tough. It's tough for the Pirates because they have to beat the Pirates.
Yeah.
And then you got to beat the team that's in front of you. And it's you know – so I like to see them up. You know, and they'll probably shut them down too. It's going to be whatever happens is going to be a disaster. You know,
it will be.
They'll bring them up at the wrong time, and then they'll shut them down, and then they'll make the playoffs, and then he won't even see the mound in the play.
Something weird's going to happen to where they're so far out of contention, they're like, you know what? We're just going to shut them down since, you know, we don't want him playing meaningless baseball. We don't want him to get hurt in meaningless baseball. And they're going to find a way to keep him down in the minors for contract control issues. It's what they do. And, you know, if they prove us wrong and they call him up at the right time, you know what? We'll recognize them for finally doing something right. But until they do it, I'm hedging my bets that the worst is going to happen. They're just going to keep him down.
Had moderate success last year. He made a bunch of spot starts. He made a bunch of regular starts. And he had moderate success with the Pirates, yet Bailey Falter wins the position. It boggles my mind. There was no indication that Bailey Falter was going to be successful coming into this.
None whatsoever. And like you said, why is he even on the major league roster? He feels no role, no purpose. Oh, he's the lefty. We need a lefty. You should be able to find someone better than Bailey Falter.
And we have quite a few lefties in the rotation. The guy yesterday, he's left-handed.
Yeah.
Marco Gonzalez.
Yeah. So you don't need him. Or if you want another lefty, use one of your bullpen guys occasionally. Let them pitch 3 innings.
Like they have no idea what they're doing.
No, it doesn't. That's Pirate baseball in a nutshell. They don't know what they're doing. They like succeed, you know, in spite of the front office. Like I'm trusting the guys that they're putting out there, but I don't trust the manager, and I don't trust the GM, and I don't trust the owner. I finally trust the players that they have out there. It's just like you said, everything else around them that they have to beat, plus the opponents.
Let me ask you this: the Pirates are 5-0. They play two more against the Nationals, then they come home for 3 against the Orioles on Sunday. They're going to be 10 games into this season, Mike. Mm-hmm. They're 5-0. They have 5 games left before that happens. What do you think this baseball team's record is going to be? It's Sunday night when you're laying your head down. What are your battling buckos going to be? They're 5-0 right now. They play the Nationals 2 more on the road, then they come home for Baltimore and for 3. What is this team's record on Sunday night?
7-3.
You got 7-3?
I got 7-3. I think that's very respectable. I'd be damn
that
good.
Is respectable.
That's a damn good, actually, first 10 games.
And it really is. It really is. It all depends. You know what? It all depends what goes on in these next couple games against the Nationals. Again, we have the top of our lineup, our rotation. I like that. I like the fact that our lefties are finally going to get in there and just get the chance to hit the ball. I like that. So, you know, if they could sweep, and you know, I don't know if they will, but if they could sweep this series and come home at 7-0.
I would. I'd love that.
What if they come home at 7-0, Mike?
They come home at 7-0. After the 10 games, they might be 9-1, 8-2.
Okay. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Unless there's a total meltdown. But, you know, if you're watching any of these games, you could tell that they're not a bad team. No. They have those couple pieces that they were missing last year.
Yeah.
O'Neal Cruz was a huge, 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 huge piece. They made a couple signings. I think the Michael A. Taylor for the outfield was a big signing. You know, so those few little areas that they lacked last year, they're looking better. And I got to tell you, the guys like Connor Joe is just red hot.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I have their stats up right now. Connor Joe, like, what? Yeah, four doubles already on the year. It's insane. 5 ribbies. He's batting .348. Yeah,
four doubles in four games.
And the team only has 4 home runs. So they're playing like
they're winning every kind of way, Mike.
Yeah, you know, they're playing station to station baseball. you know, in their comebacks. It's just good baseball.
The other day they had a win. They used small ball. They won.
Yep.
The other day they, you know, they had a comeback. They played two games in extra innings. Yeah. They found ways to win. Again, I'm starting to feel, again, I was optimistic going into.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to feel good about this. You always, of course, have to watch for injuries. You just never know when an injury is going to come along. That's the wild card in this whole thing. But, you know, as things look right now, could be a lot worse.
Could be a lot worse. But that's the thing right there, the injuries, because they don't have the depth. If they lose one of their starters, one of their key guys, they don't have the depth to plug and play for a while. So, like, if they lose O'Neill Cruz for a big stretch, Cabrian Hayes for a big stretch, that would be killer. They can't have that.
But again, Mike, we got to say the Blue Jays did get no-hitted in a 10-0 loss yesterday. So, you know, we could be on that side of the track, and we're not.
We've been on that side of the track too long.
Skate over to the ice, Mike, for the second part of the Bucks and Pucks sweep yesterday. A clean Pittsburgh sweep. The Penguins back at it. They traveled up to New York to play the Rangers. Penguins go up and dominate, Mike, 5-2. They win this game against a team that's 50-21-4. The Penguins are 33-30-11. Rangers are first in the Metro. Crosby gets two goals. Russ gets two goals. Bemstrom gets a goal. Mike, explain to me how this keeps happening with the Penguins and the teams that they shouldn't beat, and opposed to the Penguins versus teams they should beat.
Like I mentioned earlier, it's the Pittsburgh way. You beat the teams you should not beat. You lose the teams you shouldn't. You lose to the teams you shouldn't lose to. It's just the way it is. I have no explanation for this team. The way they collapsed against Columbus the game before, I thought, okay, they might not win the rest of the season. Then they come out and play this dominant. I don't get it. I do not get what is going on with this team. One night they look like a playoff team. The next night they look like a team that should be drafting inside the top 10. I can't explain it. I literally cannot. You read articles from all, you know, every hockey writer. They can't figure it out either, what's going on with this team.
It's always nice to play the Rangers, Mike, because Sidney Crosby is the only active player with 100-plus points against three franchises.
Yep.
The Rangers, the Islanders, and the Flyers. So
it's always nice.
It's always nice when you get one of these interdivision teams because you know that we have a shot because – of course, Crosby finds a way to score all the time. And also, Crosby achieves another goal last night by tying Wayne Gretzky, guys. He's the only player that has ever been able to do this. Crosby ties Wayne Gretzky's record of 19 seasons with at least one goal per game.
Point per game.
On average. So, you know, that's pretty awesome for Crosby. You know, he's how many 19 seasons? You know, how many more seasons does the guy have?
Right.
He's made it to this point. So, you know, he's going to finish with this or something similar to this as he rounds out his career. But you know what? At the end of the day, that's just Sidney Crosby being Sidney Crosby, right, Mike?
Exactly. Like we're just like kind of like numb to it. Like we expect it. Like if he doesn't do something like this, it's like, oh, he didn't do that. So that's just how you know you're such a dominant player. It's such a great player where the fans are like, yeah. This is what more or less that's what it is expected of you. You know, it might not be fair, but that's what it is. And he's lived up to the type and expectations for 19 years. And it's just if everyone around him would play better, this team would be in a much better place.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Because, you know, he's like the only one of the few guys you cannot criticize.
And insanely, well, you know what I mean. I'm guilty of this. I'm ready to put him on a boat and ship him out when the team's not playing well. And but you know what? It's equal across the board. You know, Malkin and Letang and everybody. I'm ready for them to go. But I got to tell you, once Marc-Andre Fleury left, you then start to see those things that you don't realize when they are here. So I do understand that if any of these guys did go, I would totally feel the same way because I got to tell you, Mike, I would take Marc-Andre Fleury back in a heartbeat. You know, people say, well, look at his age. Well, guess what? Look at Sidney Crosby's age and look what he's doing.
Yeah.
And at this point in his career, Marc-Andre Fleury is the second best goalie that's ever played in the NHL. So why wouldn't you? I would take him back in a heartbeat.
I'd take him, especially the way Jari's been playing.
Yeah.
You know, so inconsistent. I'd rather have Fleury. And like Fleury, like he was writing an article where beginning of this year, he was kind of you know what, this might be it, my last year retiring. And he's like, you know what, the way I've been playing throughout the year, I feel a lot better. He's like, I'm coming back for probably at least one more, two more years.
Fleury said this.
Yeah, he wants to keep playing.
And it just seemed like Brodeur. Remember Brodeur played till he was about 100,
Yeah, you just
and he,
keep playing, keep racking up wins.
and that's, you know, you look and you say, well, look how much better he did. Well, that's because he played 20 additional years to the long career that Marc-Andre Fleury played. You know what I mean? If Fleury would just keep continuing to play as Brodeur did, he, you know.
Yeah, and Brodeur played again, in that New Jersey system where, all they did was trap.
All right.
And so he had
Couldn't
like
get
every you barely.
face any shots.
You whereas Fleury, most of his wins came in Pittsburgh where it was good luck.
Right.
You're on your own.
Mike, I'm going to touch the gridiron for just a moment. The draft is in 23 days. If anybody's counting down, I know Mike is.
I am.
How's your stomach holding up?
It's great. I'm locked in.
All right.
I'm ready to
23 days.
stopwatch it.
So
I
Derby's
hate
gonna
you guys.
time
I
the whole
hate
thing.
you both. I hate you
And I love that idea, Derby. Way to stay on top of things, man. I love it.
both.
Twenty-three days from the draft, guys. One Steeler note that I do have here. I saw a report that said Russell Wilson and Patrick Queen named to the list of most likely free agent busts. One possibly, the other no chance in hell. I don't think Patrick Queen turns out to be a bust in any way, shape, or form because he has such a good defense around him. He's going to be able to do what he does and do it very well. I don't think there's any way that Patrick Queen becomes a bust. Maybe Russell Wilson, but a lot of things have to happen for that to
But
be for him to
but
become a bust. A
like
bust.
Russell Wilson could put up the same numbers last year, this year that that he did in Denver, and that would be a huge improvement over the quarterback play we had this year, but people would still say it was a bust.
Right.
Over 3,500 yards, 20 some odd touchdowns, 10 picks. I would take that here in Pittsburgh. That would make us our offense so much
Absolutely.
so much more deadly.
We were 10-7 when we couldn't
We
get a
couldn't,
touchdown.
yeah,
You
I think
know,
we threw
we went
like
to
what,
the
12?
playoffs with just a fraction of what Russell Wilson did. So as you said, Mike, if he comes here, puts up 3,500 yards, 26 or 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, whatever it was, we'll be way better off,
We'll be
right?
way better, and people will still say, oh, it's but he was terrible this year.
Yeah. So there you go, guys. 3 weeks and 2 days till the NFL
I
draft.
can't wait. I can't wait. And now it's taken forever to get here. The
Yeah.
closer the draft gets, the longer it takes. I hate it.
One other note around the NFL, former cornerback Vontae Davis, 35 years old, found dead at his Florida home yesterday. Man, he was one of the guys that retired early, I think, if I'm
Yeah,
not
he
mistaken.
retired he at halftime.
Yeah, he was
Yeah, he was the
bald
one
in
like, I
Buffalo.
don't, yeah, he's like, I don't have it anymore. And yeah,
So there
I
you go.
saw
That's
that. I was like
unfortunate.
out of the blue.
Also, one more thing in football, the Pittsburgh Passion. The Passion start on May 4th, guys. If you want to go check out the Passion, it is a home game. It's May 4th against the DC Divas. And that's a 6 o'clock game. That will be at Pine Richland. Of course, they used to play always. They would play at West Allegheny. Now this game will be at Pine Richland. Keep that in mind. Mark it on your calendar, guys. Pittsburgh Passion versus the DC Divas, May 4th, 6 p.m. at Pine Richland High School.
Check them out.
Check them out.
Check them out.
Let's talk about this college basketball game a little bit last night. So basically, you had two games last night. We talked about yesterday,
Yes.
Iowa, number one Iowa versus number three LSU, and number three NC State versus number one USC. No. Is that who
No.
played? UConn, I'm sorry. Number three UConn versus number one USC. I'll tell you what I'm looking at here in a second.
Yeah, you're looking at the
So the first game, the one that everybody is
Yeah.
is everybody was interested in. Well, check this out. For starters, a ticket to get into the game last night to see Iowa play Iowa and LSU was $176.
Ooh.
The games in Albany were $26. So they got to take, in my opinion, Mike, as we say a lot on the show, you got to make these two like like I don't know, rivals. You really gotta put that into people's head. Paint that picture, you
Yeah.
know. You know, I just think that they could do so much with this, and it could bring attention to the WNBA and bring some much needed media and attention. And but anyway, Iowa and LSU go at it. I did watch this game. It was a pretty amazing game, I'm gonna be honest with you. Iowa comes out, they take the lead early. Then you know what? It looked like LSU turned it around, and
Yeah.
as halftime approached, they pulled away. They went on like on a 10-0 run, and then they were up about five at halftime. And then Iowa comes out and they just start hitting threes, and
Yeah.
LSU. And then Angel Reese gets she gets hurt, she rolls her ankle, and then she comes back in, and then she fouls. The game had everything. I'm gonna be
Yeah.
honest with you. This game literally had everything.
Yeah.
And one thing that I did notice about these two teams, they play very good basketball. I mean, you just their games. I mean, it is no surprise and no accident that these two teams are where they are right now. Kind of unfortunate they couldn't face each other in the finals.
Yeah, oh,
However,
that yep.
there's other good teams out there that's going to make it interesting as well. But as far as the you know, the hero and the villain conversation storyline with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, that's over. LSU is done. They got their rematch game
Yeah.
and they won it. Caitlin Clark, she finishes with 41 points. Now, here's the thing that gets me. This is a really good LSU team. I mean, really good. They're really athletic. They're really, really good. And Iowa puts up 94 points. 94 points, almost 100. Caitlin Clark scores 41. She gets 7 rebounds, 12 assists. She had 9 threes, which ties the NCAA tournament record in this revenge game, and beats LSU. Mike, you know, that tells me that this team is going to be prepared and ready to play whoever's put out in front of them.
Yeah.
Because you know, this is the team that beat you last year. This is the team that, you know, they came out, they beat you,
Yeah.
and they were able to come back and, as I said, almost score 100 points against a team that plays really good. And in the defense and the way they're all over the place, and they're the rebounding, their offensive boards. This LSU girls basketball team, women, I'm sorry, it blew me away. I'm blown away by watching this basketball game on how freaking good these women are, Mike.
It was a really good game, and I was just surprised. Like they had no answer for Caitlin Clark. Like they're, I don't know what the defensive strategy was for Caitlin Clark. You think you would put two people on her? No, let's just leave what they left her what single like 1-on-1 like the whole time. It felt like I don't understand the strategy there. But she's one of those players. Like even if you do double team her, she's gonna find a way to beat you. So.
Right.
But it was just a good game. Like I didn't get a chance to watch the whole game because I'd be up, before the butt crack of dawn. But like the highlights I were able to watch, the long clips I was able to watch, like Ryan said, it was a really good basketball game, really intense basketball game. And these two teams, I wish they would have met in the finals.
It really puts me in mind.
Caitlin Clark and
It
the
really puts me in
Pips.
mind of the Lakers and Celtics in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
Magic and
Puts
Bird.
you in
Magic
mind
Bird from,
of
yeah.
Magic and Bird in so many ways. Again, you're watching this Iowa team, and these girls aren't bad. I mean, without
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, this team is not where it's at, obviously.
No.
But
Mm-mm.
you know what? You know, as I said, she had a dozen assists, and she's dumping it off to these other girls that you don't really know who they are. But they're making the play. They're not underneath the basket missing these layups. They're, you know,
Yeah.
this is a solid team. Guys, the Final Four, that this was that concluded the Elite Eight last night. Let me touch on the other one real quick, then we'll get into the Final Four. UConn and USC was another big matchup. I didn't watch this whole thing. I kept an eye on it. However, number three, UConn, 80. Number one, USC, 73.
Ooh.
So the winner of this game, UConn, goes on to play Iowa. And then the winner of that goes on to play the winner of South Carolina and NC State, which are both of these games are 1-3 matchups. Number one being South Carolina, three being NC State. And on the other side of the bracket, number one being Iowa, number three being UConn. These UConn teams, you got to watch these UConn teams. I went through this in the early 2000s. When they get going, they're hard to stop.
Yep.
UConn teams are so freaking hard to stop, and it gets old fast. I don't know what it is about them, but I'm already getting tired of them.
Is Gino Auriemma still coaching the women's basketball team?
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. He's going to have – I think he – because I don't know what – what's her name? Mulkey down in LSU was thinking, trying to, like, draw the defense up against Iowa and Caitlin Clark. I thought she would do a better job for how long she's coached. But I think Gino's going to have a – might have – going to try something to try and slow down Caitlin Clark. That's going to be interesting to see if, like – if she can't score, how well is she going to be able to distribute? You saw, you know, she had like, what, 12 dimes last night. So maybe she might have to, like, this one, let's see if she can, if they try and double her, you know, well, can she revert to being a better passer than a scorer? That's what I want to see.
Yeah. That's what LSU did. They made her pass, and guess what?
And she still, girls, you know, had to just throw up 40 points.
You know, and
she, she was cutting into the lane. She was making some of these unbelievable plays. She was on a different level last night.
Both of these teams had some good-looking girls.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm watching this game last night, and I thought, geez, oh, man, almost every girl on the court is hot to some
oh,
capacity.
My God. Oh, you know? My God.
Final Four starts Friday for the women. Course, again, that's UConn versus Iowa, NC State versus South Carolina. Mike, talk about this NC State South Carolina game a little bit. You know, these NC State teams are red hot right now. There's P's team, South Carolina, the team that everybody talked about all year. They said it's going to be South Carolina and LSU. That's not the case. Mike, do you like this matchup, the NC State South Carolina Gamecocks?
I think South Carolina is just going to roll. They're
going to dominate.
Yeah, they're, what, 36-0? They're just steamrolling people. They're just like a well-oiled machine. I think they're going to end up winning it all. It's the way they're playing. They're like, no one's been able to slow them down.
Well, that's going to take me back to a question Brian had earlier on the board here. And I pushed it back a minute because I was getting here.
Yeah, it coming up.
Do any of you three think Iowa can beat South Carolina? Mike, what do you think?
I don't think so. I like Caitlin might have to have like a Kobe-esque game, you know, score 50.
She got 41 against LSU.
She got 40-41, but she's going to have the game of her life. And I just think that South Carolina team is just deep. You know, they got players all over the place.
There's only been one time that we've seen Caitlin Clark, who's coincidentally built like Crash Bandicoot. Tell me I'm wrong.
I hate you.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I hate you.
But there's only been one time that Caitlin Clark has failed. And that was that game last year against LSU with Angel Reese in the ring and the whole thing.
Yeah.
She finds ways to win, Mike.
Yeah.
And that's why I think yes. My answer, Brian, is yes, I think that Iowa can beat them. Do I think they will? I don't know. I don't know yet.
Yeah,
let's see what happens with
they still
got to
get through UConn,
and then see what let's see how things play. But yeah. I do think that she in Iowa can beat South Carolina. Mike says no.
Derpy, I think it's going to be tough.
Derpy, what do you think? Iowa, do they stand a chance? Can they win against South Carolina if that be the matchup?
It's possible, but I just think South Carolina is too deep.
Okay,
as Mike said,
that's fair. And probably my lack of seeing South Carolina play, I don't have extensive knowledge of this team. But again, I say the only thing that I'm going by is, guys, I just know that this girl finds a way to get it done.
Yeah.
And she needs is a half of a foot to be able to shoot the basketball. Yeah. And she can make it anywhere on the court.
Yeah, if she starts off hot and just, you know, can keep hitting those threes and keep getting open the way she was last night, well, she has been the whole tournament, more or less all year, too. She can make it a close game. She is the equalizer. Now this Iowa team isn't that deep, and she's more or less dragging them, you know, to drag them to the Final Four. I don't want to like discredit the other women on that team, but you know, when you have someone this good, you know, she is that team. Everyone else is just a good supporting player,
right?
But you know, they're doing what they need to do. You know, the one girl had like what 20 some odd points. Going in the other guard, so She was pulling her weight and everyone else, was doing their job on the boards too. So I just know. I don't know, man. That South Carolina team, when you get a team like that, it's just well-oiled, rolling through, they're going to be tough to stop.
They're going to make her
Absolutely.
teammates work. They're going to make her teammates work more than her
Yeah,
team
they
work.
are. They're gonna if Iowa beats us, it's gonna be because the rest of the team gets their gets the job done. They're gonna figure that Caitlin Clark's gonna put up 30 some points. That's what she does. She gets that done every game. Make the rest of the team beat us. Guys, I do want to dip into this real quick just because I think it's funny. Just because she was so big-headed 2 days ago. She was so independent. She didn't need a man for anything. While things were going good, you couldn't say anything to get inside of Angel Reese's head. Guys, listen to these comments after the game last night by Angel Reese. She goes on to say, after losing this game to Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes, excuse me, she says, "I'm just trying to stay strong. I've been attacked so many times, death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. All this happened since I won the national championship, and I haven't been happy since." Last week, she was on top of the world, Mike. She was so independent. She was such a strong-headed woman. Now, don't make fun of me. Don't tell me, cheer that the other team won and we lost, because I have a lot of things going on in my life because nobody else does. And I don't know. What do you think this is, Mike?
No, I think she just answered the question that was asked to her, and that's what she has going on. That a lot of these athletes have stuff going on that people don't know about, that
Like
they're dealing with
everybody,
behind the
8
scenes.
billion people have things going on in their life.
And
My
that doesn't diminish what you have going on. It doesn't diminish what she has
no,
going on,
my
but
point would be
it affects
this.
her.
Why now, when we could all go, yeah, Caitlin Clark got the revenge game. You lost against Caitlin Clark. Now, I'm going to start bringing out the things that I want you to feel bad because I don't want to talk about this anymore, is the way this comes to me.
Angel Reese is not what's wrong with society,
I'm not
Brian.
saying she's
Right.
what,
No,
by
that's
any
what
means.
Brian's saying on there. No,
Oh, okay.
I don't get the hate for Angel Reese at all. I
I
don't
like
understand
her,
it. I like her too.
but I just think that this was, I think that she's taking things outside of basketball and bringing them to the forefront because she wants people to just shut up and she doesn't want to hear about losing this basketball
It
game. That's just my opinion. But
could be, but
again, these weren't issues 2 weeks ago, 3 days ago, when she was on top of the world. I'm Miss Independent. I don't need a man. She was a whole different person. Now it's like, oh, look at me. I'm having bad. That's all I'm saying. I think that she
I don't know.
brought this to the forefront because they lost this basketball game,
Salty.
and that's my stance.
I don't know. I like her. She's still, I still like
I
her.
never said once that I didn't like her.
No,
I do
I
like
know
her.
you didn't. I know. Yeah, you talked off air about like how her and Caitlin Clark are great for the sport, great for women's basketball. Their rivalry, like you said, should be talked about, like kind of like Bird and Magic.
You think she's hot, Mike? Guys, let me go on, touch into the Hounds briefly. Mike, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, they are back in action Saturday at home at 7 o'clock. They host the Tampa Bay Rowdies at Highmark Stadium. Get down there. They have some kind of night. I don't know what it is. Some kind of festive night or thing going on, promotion. If you want to get down there to support these Pittsburgh Riverhounds, Saturday, guys, 7 o'clock, back in action against the Tampa Bay Rowdies.
The Hounds.
Mike, why don't you tell everybody about the website?
TheTwoDumbYinzers.com. Over there, we got our social media links. We got the merch store. And we got the blog. Like I said, yesterday, if you didn't catch the show, there's a new one up about the Buccos. I think, it was about what, Jared Jones. I had one up about Jared Jones and his masterful debut in the MLB. One of the best debuts I've seen in a long time, especially for a power pitcher. Check it out, thetwodumbyinzers.com.
Go check it out, everybody. A lot of good stuff over there. Mike does a very good job. www.thetwodumbyinzers.com. Today's question, guys, is going to be tied into the Pirates being undefeated.
Ooh.
So, guys on the board, participate as well. Derp, you put your thinking cap on. Here we go. The question of the day is this: who has the longest winning streak to start a season in Major League Baseball? Now, what I'm going to do for you guys is, because it could somewhat be skewed once you get back so far in records. And I looked into this, and here's what it plays out. We're going to go in the modern era, which is 1955 to now.
Okay.
So
Okay.
this can make it a little bit easier for you. So between in the modern era of the major leagues, the question of the day is who has the longest winning streak to start a season? It's one of the teams that are still out there. It's nobody that came and went. It's not the
That's
Washington Senators, nothing like this.
who I was gonna say. It's the Senators.
So take a minute, think this over, guys. The question is, who has the longest winning streak to start an MLB season in the modern era since 1955? Think that over, guys. We are live. We're live 5 days a week, right here, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The show that we do live, brand new every day. We take and we upload in podcast form over on Spotify at 8 o'clock p.m. Maybe you don't get a chance to watch this. Maybe you just rather listen to the show. Maybe you're at the gym. Maybe you're in the car. Whatever the case may be, you could go to Spotify, listen to the brand new show every day at 8 o'clock p.m. Go check it out. All right, guys. The question of the day is this: in modern era, who has the longest winning streak to start a Major League Baseball season? I'm looking for a team. P on the board says the Atlanta Braves.
Ooh,
Mike, I'm going to
good
start
one.
with you today. I started with Derpy yesterday. Mike, which team has the longest streak to start a season? You don't have to tell me how many.
Let's go with Boston.
Boston, the Red Sox.
Red Sox.
All right. Mike says the Red Sox. Derpy, who has the longest winning streak to start a season in the modern era in the Major League Baseball League? Mike says the Red Sox. P on the board says Atlanta. Two very good picks. I may have picked one of them myself if I was sitting where you're sitting. But I ask you, Derpy, which Major League Baseball team has the longest winning streak to start a season? Pirates are 5-0. Which team has the longest?
Give me the Bankies.
The Yankees. Three good picks. Three good picks.
Which be like the Marlins or something.
That's what
Yeah.
Pete just put up on the board. Watch it be one of them stacked early Marlins
Yep.
team, which I wouldn't doubt either. But Derpy says the Yankees. Mike says the Red Sox. Pete says the Braves. Guys, the question is, who has the longest win streak to start a season in the majors in modern era? Last year, the Tampa Bay Rays,
Wow, that's
13
right.
and
Wow,
0.
that's
I
right.
forgot they had a nice run.
13 and 0. The only reason that there was a team better than us in April last year was because that this team went 13 and 0 to start, guys, the Tampa Bay Rays. It's impressive, man.
That is.
I mean,
That
just,
is.
everything you go through in one game, just to come up with a win on a level of, professional ball players where everybody's, that's amazing. So there it is. 13 games, guys. Pirates are almost kind of sort of halfway there at five, but we'll see how the rest of this week goes. Mike, anything before we get ready to take off?
Real quick. I saw this reading the
And you haven't had to run off to the bathroom. I find this is most impressive.
Imodium, baby. Imodium.
I really wanted to stopwatch you.
Oh, I got something here. Dan Moore was among the top 25 NFL players who were compensated from the league fund for pay players who are largely low earning by NFL standards. He earned an additional $740,319 for his play last year.
Oh, that's good.
So as
Great.
much as Steelers fans and like the analytics want to crap all over him, the NFL by and large said he outperformed his contract.
There you go.
So it's like who to believe, who not to believe, but Dan Moore, he got that bread.
You know who I believe, Derpy? I believe you. What do you got?
Well, another day closer to the draft. Draft a stinking center.
Right. I got to say this. On April, which is the weekend of the draft, if you do want to get out that weekend, Yinzer Fest is back. Yinzer Fest, that's right, is at David Lawrence Convention Center. There's going to be live music, comedy, sports legends, local chefs, Yinzer Market, and more. So if you are a Yinzer, or if you're just curious on what goes on in a world of Yinzers, get down to David Lawrence Convention Center between April 25th and 28th for Yinzer Fest, Mike.
Yinzerfest. I can
Yinzer
go
Fest.
drink some, what, Iron City and probably eat some
pierogies and
pierogies, some stuffed cabbage, some stuffed peppers. That's like a
French
Yinzer.
fries all over everything.
Yes, French fries on everything, because
I
that's
like
what
it.
That's what us Yinzers do.
That's right. It's not a stereotype. We literally
it's not. Do. It is so damn true.
But I do want to thank everybody for checking us out, coming to hang out with us. We appreciate each and every one of you. We really do. We wouldn't do it without you guys. We want to thank everybody on the board. You guys certainly always keep things interesting. Mike Derpy, anything else before we go?
I got nothing. Dan Moore Jr. is underpaid, apparently, according to the NFL.
All right, Derpy, anything else, man?
Slow news day.
Yeah, it is kind of tomorrow's going to be slower because there's no Pirates today. The Penguins played last night. The girls, women's basketball is done for a couple of days. So, we had a lot of good stuff to talk about today.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
We did.
Tomorrow, all the good stories we will we'll be digging. But you know what? It was fun. So I do believe that's it, guys. Anything else?
I got nothing, man.
All right. For Mike in the Steeler Central Mobile Studio, for Derpy, myself, the two Dumb Yinzers, everybody have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No.